Blog Talk Radio. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our lives and into our hearts. We need you. Almighty God, we need you right now. Reveal your glory and pour your spirit out. Almighty God, we need you right now. Reveal your glory and pour your spirit out. Oh Lord, Almighty God,
welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us back again. We are here live on God's Word to Man. I am your host tonight, Brother Manny, and tonight on Monday nights, you know what we like to do. We like to open the lines up for you, the listeners. That's right, for you, the listeners, to call in. If you have a question or a comment about the topic tonight, you can call in 323-870-3403. Again, that number is 323-870-3403. We will have a brother, a couple of the brothers on tonight to share their insights on the topic. And we're just going to open up the phone lines. I mean, listen, if you have a prayer request as well, you're more than welcome to call in with your prayer requests, but definitely, if you have an opinion on the topic tonight, we would like to hear from you. Now, just before I invite the brothers on and before we get started with the broadcast, I want to let you know that we do have a presence on social media. That's right. On Facebook, there's a God's Word to Man page that I would love for you to go over to if you're on Facebook and like and follow that page. Why? Well, because it's our way of notifying you when we have broadcasts, when we do live Facebook Lives, or if we upload videos, any type of content we upload there, you know, for your encouragement and your upliftment and uplifting, I should say, encouragement and education there on Facebook. So going over there, it's a Bible with the light shining down on the Bible. You can't miss it, okay? We also have an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. If you do not want to or do not wish to call in and voice your opinion or ask for your prayer request to be prayed for, you can email us at godsword2man@gmail.com, and we'll respond as soon as we can, okay? So what is tonight's topic? Tonight's topic, right out of the headlines, I made it a little controversial, but I believe it's necessary. Is it hunting season? I pause for a second there because I know some of you are listening and saying, hunting? They're talking about hunting? Yes. Is it hunting season? With flames of outrage still smoldering around the Amber Geiger conviction and her sentencing of 10 years for killing an unarmed man in his own house, sitting in his own chair. She walked in, a police officer, a sworn police officer in Dallas, Texas. She walked in and she executed this black man sitting in his own apartment, eating ice cream. Well, there's new footage that has come out of another police officer and police-involved shooting from not too far from that area. Dallas and Fort Worth are, like, right there. It's like Chicago and Evanston, you know, or whatever suburb right near a major city. Texas man responding to a well-being check-in. For some of you who don't know what a well-being check is, they're just supposed to knock and inquire. This particular night, police officer, his body cam showed him firing into a young lady down in Fort Worth, Texas, firing his weapon into her window, killing her while she was playing video games with her nephew. And it's been the outrage. And so the discussion tonight is we need to gain insight into what's happening. The discussion is, are they hunting black men and women, African Americans? Let's just put it out there. Are we being hunted? I'm going to bring on two of my brothers who have joined me tonight. I want to bring on Rev Murphy. God bless you, Rev Murphy. How are you tonight?
I'm blessed, my brother. How are you?
Doing well. If you don't mind, for those who don't know you, can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Amen. I am Joseph Murphy. I'm the senior pastor of the Caring Church of Memphis. I've been in ministry since 91. I've pastored in Chicago for, I think it was, 7 years, and now I'm down in Memphis pastoring a new ministry. And I just thank and praise God for this opportunity to be on this blog, talk radio, and, you know, just sharing with the people what God puts on your heart and in our hearts. So it's a blessing.
Amen. Amen. I want to bring on my next brother. God bless you, Brother Tom. How are you tonight?
God bless you, dear brothers.
God bless you, Brother Tom. How are you, sir?
Good, man. Good, sir.
Amen. Brother Tom, can you introduce yourself to the listening audience for those who don't know who you are?
All right, Pastor Tom Lyons, also Chicago rooted, but God is spreading us Chicago boys out, one in Memphis and one in Minneapolis. I was an associate pastor for a while in Chicago, and now I pastor Trinity Tabernacle Church in North Minneapolis.
Amen. Amen. Well, fellas, you heard my intro. Obviously, both of you know there's been another police-involved shooting in Fort Worth, not too far from Dallas, a Miss Jefferson. I think her name is Antiana, I think is her name, last name Jefferson. Police officer shot into her window. And didn't announce himself as police. She was in the room playing with her nephew, playing video games. She was killed by those shots. And thank God, even in that tragedy, that the nephew wasn't shot, because he could have just as well been struck by those bullets as well. But he wasn't, and we thank God for that. But we are mourning the loss of another black sister, black individual, who at the hands of the police, were unarmed, no reason at all. And so it made me pose the question, and I want to pose the question to our listeners tonight. Are we being hunted? I have some studies here that show that African Americans, men and boys, are two and a half times as likely to die by a gunshot wound from the police as any other man, any other ethnicity on earth. Two and a half times more likely. Black women and girls, 1.4 times more likely to die at the hands of a bullet from a policeman's gun. So it got me to digging. And I said, well, how many of these police-involved shootings are there? Now, I didn't break it down into ethnicity, but so far this year, they say it's over 700 police-involved shootings. Now, I don't know how many of those are black or Hispanic, but last year was over 900. Some people may say, hey, well, it's going down. Well, that's neither here nor there. It's still happening. And now seems that it's happening at such an alarming rate. And so I want to give each of you an opening statement as it pertains to this particular topic. I'm going to start with you, Rev. Go ahead.
So the question is, are we being hunted? And the answer to the question, is that we are definitely being hunted, but it's not the answer. It's not the answer the way that you think it is. And so we are being hunted, but we're not being hunted because we're black. We're being hunted because the devil is real and he realizes his time is short. And so as a result of Satan understanding his time being short, Matthew 24 and 12 talks about, because of the rampant lawlessness, the love of many shall wax cold. And so what the devil has done is he's given us this appearance. Remember, he's the great deceiver. So he's given us this appearance that it's all about white versus black, when the truth of the matter is it's not a skin problem, it is a sin problem. While we can't ignore that disproportionately what's happening with these police-involved shootings are certainly disproportionately greater towards us, and I get that, it still really is not about skin colors as much as the devil wants us to believe, as it is about it being about sin. And the devil wants us to be focused on it being about skin color because he wants it to help bring about division and even keep the people of God, the church, divided along racial lines. And so, yes, we're being hunted. No, it's not directly by, you know, white people, because if that was the case, we wouldn't have greater numbers of black-on-black crime than as we have it. And so we are being hunted, but it's by the devil, and the people of God need to wake up and understand what's going on and shift to a sense of having a desire to have a greater relationship with God so that we can learn how to tell the truth about what's really happening and not just simply break it down to a racial divide.
Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. Brother Tom, your opening statement there?
Thank God, man. Thank God for Rev bringing out that spiritual side of it, because that is very important. We must remember that, you know, we're fighting a spiritual enemy. But I think Rev probably knew I was going to bring out the natural side of it. And I'm glad that Rev mentioned a little bit about the crime amongst African-American or African people. Let me mention that most violence, 75% of violence in the white community is from white people. Let me mention that. 75% of the violence in Hispanic communities is from other Hispanic people.
Amen. Absolutely.
But they promote advertise and
and
put out the violence that happens amongst our community.
Amen.
When it's really no different from violence that happens among other racial communities.
Absolutely.
And the
That's
reason
right.
for that is to promote fear for African people of African descent. And systemically, we know the history of this country. One of America's biggest sins, I will say sins, has been slavery. And we have to be honest about the fact that while it is important to, as preachers and believers, to recognize the spiritual aspect of it, that we're dealing with a spiritual enemy, it's also important to know his devices. And this is one of his devices that he's using, racism, separatism, and hatred in the hearts of white people. And it's being taken down to a lot of these people through generations. They've been trained and taught this through generations. And it is affecting us still today. It is part of the new Jim Crow. And it is unfortunate that in 2019 that we are in, and not only in America, this is happening in other places in the world with people of color, people of African descent specifically. And so, but I want to say, yes, we're being hunted. And it's so many aspects of it that we can't encompass in an hour.
Got you. One of my next questions, and again, this is an open line discussion. If you have an opinion on what is being discussed tonight, you can call in 323-870-3403. Let's talk a little bit more about the ease in which the police are able to take a black life. Because some would say, hey, yeah, I hear you, Rev, but you can have one of these white fellas do a mass shooting and they'll take him to McDonald's to make sure he gets something to eat. But we got unarmed black individuals like Laquan McDonald, who was shot 17 times in front of a whole police unit, squad, all with their weapons drawn. And he gets shot 17 times. This young man who was in his house where the young lady said, oh, I thought, you know, I had just worked a 13-hour shift, which, you know, I worked, you know, 16-hour shifts back to back to back before, never walked into somebody else's house, but whatever. He goes and kills this man just as easy like it's nothing. This officer yesterday, the other day, killing this woman, shooting in her window, never identifying himself. Now, today they say he resigned. Of course, I think it's my opinion that he was forced to resign and told to just sit tight and wait for his court date. Why do you think it's become so easy to just chop down a black life? Do you think it has something to do with the culture today that's being, you know, encouraged by our president, by certain individuals who believe that, hey, the police are within their rights, you know, to do what they do? You know, I mean, we can even talk about this whole ICE situation where they're pulling people off their jobs down in Texas and Mississippi, and they're, you know, shooting a lot of these people and putting these people in jail, and, you know, all because of this president, some say. And so to that, what do you say, Rev?
So what we really got to do, and I really do appreciate Brother Tom's comments, we always got to find our basis in the scripture. The truth of the matter is there's always been racism. There's always been classism, you know, and yes, there's a deliberate systematic plan to paint black people as savages and to actually destroy us from within. So that does exist, which is why it's so important to have the spiritual component, because it's the Holy Spirit, if we allow him, that gives us wisdom and insight on how to make decisions and how to respond and deal with what's going on in the world today. There, of course, have always been rich white people that don't like poor white people. It exists today. There's people. There are people in northern London who don't like people that live in southern London. So it all exists. That's why it's more of a sin problem than it is a skin problem. I feel like other races, white to be more specific, feel led, well, not led, but they feel empowered by the fact that they believe that we don't value our own lives. And again, I fault the media for portraying that way. But now, let's have this thing be balanced, right? The media can only put on TV what we're doing. But if we weren't doing it, they'd have to find something else to put on TV. So we can't just simply place the blame completely on white folk and the media. While they do deserve a great deal of the blame, those who are committing these atrocities absolutely deserve the blame. But there's always been, you know, it's like when I was growing up and you go to the park and the guy's there with his basketball. Well, he might not have been very good. And if he wasn't very good, he didn't get picked. And if he didn't get picked, he's going to take his basketball and leave. He's not going to just let you play with it. It's his basketball. It's his rules. And the same thing with essentially affluent white America. They have a set of rules that they play by, part of which is to paint black people as savages. Well, if we study and understand history, we understand that everybody's been savages. Black people treated their people, Africans treated their people horrendously in Africa. But guess what? White people have always treated them, their people horrendous too. You look at New York, you have, in Chicago, and you had some of the worst treatment of each other between the Italians and the Irish that ever existed. And so, but they're not going to really paint that picture because they don't want you to see it from that aspect. And so we as a people have to understand it's a game. It's a systematic plan to destroy us. But guess what? There's a way out of this. And so we can sit on this Blog Talk Radio, or we can scream from the highest mountain that it's unfair, but it is what it is, and we have to. God is the only way we're going to overcome this, and we have to stop giving them, just as a way of an analogy, they already have a gun. We got to stop giving them bullets. We got to stop destroying ourselves. We got to stop killing ourselves. And so, such alarming numbers. But even with that, there's even more to that. The poverty that exists among us. And wherever there's poverty, it's going to breed crime. So it's like Brother Tom said earlier, we could be on this topic forever. But, you know, when it's all said and done, the reason they find it so easy to do it to us is because we're doing it to ourselves, and not very many of us are protesting and fighting back. And when I say protest, I don't simply mean a march. Black people are among the largest consumers in America. And if we just withhold for a week without buying something, then we can make an impact. So So, you know, it just really depends on the perspective that we really want to have. So, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, that's my take on it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that, Rev. I want to bring on Brother Nate. God bless you, Brother Nate. Thank you for joining us today.
God bless you, brothers. How y'all doing?
What's going on, Brother Nate?
Blessing the Lord. God bless you. Good to hear from you.
Brother Nate, we are talking about the shooting that happened in Fort Worth where a young lady was shot through a bedroom window while playing video games with her nephew. And the title of the broadcast tonight is Are We Being Hunted? I hear what you're saying, Rev, and I do agree with you to some extent, but I do believe that there has been an uptick of sympathizers with this administration. Some use terms like dog whistle and say that he has emboldened those who have long been prejudiced and have had hatred in their hearts and, there's always been, you know, racial profiling by the police. There's always been police brutality. But it's almost a notion that people feel that police have been, in this last administration, they have been emboldened to be able to act without consequence. And as we see, Jason Van Dyke, he received a slap on the wrist for executing Laquan McDonald in front of the whole entire known world. This young lady, Amber Geiger, was given 10 years, who some say she might do 3.5 to 5 of that, and maybe even less if they do a – she's going to do she's going to what's the term? She's going to appeal. She's going to appeal the ruling, seeking lesser time for killing the young man in his home unarmed, saying that she thought she was in her own home. Now we have this police officer, who just shot the young lady through her window, Miss Jefferson. So some may say that, or some are saying that they are emboldened. You know, they feel like that the language being used on Twitter and in the media is acting as sort of some dog whistle for bigots and those who are racist and to propagate or to continue the racial divide among the citizens in this country. So, Brother Nate, I'm going to come to you in a second, but Brother Tom. Is that what is happening? Is that, you know, the dog whistle comment that I'm hearing a lot of people call and how these people are feeling emboldened, these police officers feel emboldened, like they can act without consequence? What do you say about that?
Let's be honest. Yeah. There's been a culture for a long time within policing. I think that it is more heightened right now because we have social media, and we have all this stuff where people are taking cell phone videos. But remember that we came into the late 80s and the early 90s having marches against police violence. Social media was not as large, and we weren't sharing these issues amongst the nation like it's getting shared now. It wasn't as visual as it is now. So I would say 100%. Policing, especially in community of color, had been a problem for a long, long time. And I think that there's no way, no excuse for the behavior. Violence among us, as Brother Nate said earlier, it's socioeconomic. If you take any group of people and you put them in the conditions that black people have to face in this country, you would see violence. And that's amongst any group of people. That's a proven fact. And the reality is that police brutality in communities of color has been going on in this country for years. This presidency, certainly, we don't, you know, it's hard to say why, but, you know, exactly, you know, I don't want to diagnose it all, but I can be honest and say we've all seen the uptick in police brutality. We've all seen the uptick in racism, them on the left and them on the right. But I want to say something that Barack Obama said, and he said yesterday that Donald Trump is not the sickness. He's a symptom of the sickness. And you know, he's a part of a culture that has been around for a long time. And we have to do something about it. We have to speak up against it, because Jesus would.
Amen. Amen. So I want to give you, Brother Nate, an opportunity. Did you want to add something, Brev?
No, I was just saying, amen. Everything he said is 100% correct.
Excellent. Brother Nate, so what is the church's role in all of this? You know, what should we be showing? Should we be showing a united front? Should we even be allowing a lot of the racial stuff to infiltrate the church? You know, should we just stay on par with the message of love, no matter what the situation may be? Because there were a lot of church folks on the fence about that judge and that young man's brother and the bailiff hugging Amanda Geiger and brushing her hair and comforting her. There were a lot of church folks on the fence about that, and they argued back and forth about that online on social media about what should have taken place. Some say yes, we talked about it last week. Some say, you know, they should have treated her like that because that's the way Jesus would have wanted it. Some say, you know, hey, I would have forgiven her but not shown those outward displays of affection like that, but, you know, definitely forgiven her. So what is the church's role when it comes to identifying this whole racial divide, how people should be acting, you know, what they should be thinking, and how they should be seeking God about it?
Well, the church's role, you know, there are some things you have to stand for, but the church's role is definitely to walk in the love of God and to preach the word of God. And plus, I think that sometimes what we overlook and what we miss is that we're in a spiritual warfare. You know, there's some things that we can do in the natural, okay? But when it comes to the center of the thing, we're in spiritual warfare. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, rulers, and darkness of this world. He named the demonic spirits. And I think that sometimes, and I say sometimes, we overlook that. And some of the problems we try to handle all the time just from a natural standpoint, when you're dealing with these spirits that is influencing people. Because, you know, eventually to overcome the problem, just like the wars that's being fought, well, in man's mind is that if I kill out so many people, that'll take care of the problem. Well, not necessarily so. You know, because what's the spark of it? Who's sparking it? Okay? And I think that the church's role in that, especially, that we can't overlook that we've been given, you know, Jesus gave us authority over the demonic spirits. And many times we don't exercise that authority like we should. And I say this, you know, with all due, you know, truthfulness, that, you know, like I said, there's some things that we have to stand for, some things you can do naturally, don't get me wrong. But I think that one of the big aspects that we overlook is that we are in a warfare, okay? You know, it's just like, you know, you can pass laws, but when it comes down to it, men's hearts have to be changed, okay? You can pass laws, but if the heart ain't changed, you're going to have that trouble. So when it comes down to it, yes, you know, and I heard some, you know, speak against what the young man did, but he was showing the pure love of Christ, okay, which, sad to say, sometimes in the church has become absent, okay, in the showing. And so when it is displayed, people's like, oh, you know, like they just caught off guard, like they, and then some of it treated like it was just atrocious, you know. But, you know, it took a lot into walking in the love of God that this young man did for him to do that. And what he did is that he showed the very act of what Jesus did for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Nate. I want each of you to think
Brother
about
Manny,
this. Go ahead, Rev. Go ahead.
I just want to kind of piggyback on what my brother Nate said. Listen, this is why the importance of the church, we have to stand up. Because a lot of churches have allowed themselves to be pulled into the deception of the devil that it's all purely racial. And so even the church is divided among racial lines. And I mean a large number of churches. You got the white evangelicals who back Trump. You got the black churches who don't like Trump. And in the meantime, instead of us coming together and finding a common ground to make a stand that gives God the glory, the church is divided among racial lines as well. And we got to stop beating around the bush and acting like that doesn't exist, and when it really does. And so the white evangelicals, they like Trump because, let's just be honest, a lot of them are influential, they're rich, but the main two things that they rub against is that the Republicans stand against abortion and they stand against same-sex marriage. Well, you had a president, and President Barack Obama, who signed in a lot of laws that gave credence to same-sex marriage and to abortion. And so the white evangelicals really hated that. And so not only do you have the police department, white police, propagating this racism, you really do have a portion of the church who is participating in racism. And when it's all said and done, the devil is getting the victory out of all of it, because even the white people who are racist, who are committing these heinous acts, the devil has fooled them into believing that they have a justifiable reason to do it, when their end, if they don't repent, is still going to be hell. And that's why I say, if we don't make this a spiritual matter, we can fight in the natural all we want. We're going to keep on losing. This has never been a spiritual battle. I mean, this has never been a natural battle. It's always been spiritual, even since day one. And nothing's going to change that but the love of God. And one thing we all got to do, if we don't know what's going on, we should not open our mouths and speak about it. I didn't see what's her name? Tamron Hall has a show, and she had the judge on there. And I didn't really hear it very well, but the judge was explaining what the deputies was doing was not really brushing her hair or calming her down. She explained it some different kind of way. And so to me, we are so quick, and I understand why we're so quick to jump to conclusions, because, listen, black people are tired of it being always us that's on the losing end. Or being, you know, treated unfairly. And so I get that. But that's where the spiritual nature has to rise above the natural nature and say, listen, where is God in all this? Because what a lot of churches is and have missed is a display of God's forgiveness, as my brother just said, was on display and is on display. And you got some pastors and church people who are missing that part of it. God got the glory on a national scale about forgiveness. Listen, we can paint it any other kind of way we want to, but the truth of the matter is that was an act of forgiveness. Jesus, I'm not out here killing anybody, but the same sin, the same adultery I used to be involved in qualifies me for the same hell that murderers go to. So we better stop We better stop trying to point a finger and justify our behavior because it ain't this bad or that bad, or I didn't do this or didn't do that, and understand that this is more of a spiritual battle, and as the church, we need to become united in how we present God and show God, and even how we deal with our people to get them to understand we really need to seek after a loving and forgiving God.
Amen, Rev. Thank you for that. One of the things that's very difficult, it's very difficult, right, to articulate and to show the proper emotion associated with what people are saying that was shown to us. I heard the minister Louis Farrakhan say, "We are the only abused that sympathize with our abusers," and it continues to be shown that way. We're always the ones, I guess, asked to lead in showing the love of Christ or the forgiveness of God. You know, how to forgive people. You know, this judge talks about, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but this judge talks about how the bailiff wasn't even fixing her hair. Well, then my question to the judge was what were you exactly doing when you hugged the young lady after sentencing her to 10 years for killing an unarmed black man? We sympathize with that young lady, but nothing is said about the young man who got, you know, 70 years for killing a dog. You know, it's definitely out there. And the reason why I ask, what is the church's role? Because the church is becoming younger and younger and younger. And what we see is a lot of young people looking for purpose and looking for direction. They are out here. They're on social media. They're turned up. They're tired. They're sick and tired of everything that's going on. They feel a certain kind of way. And so the message, do we think that the message of saying, hey, we're just going to love them and we're going to forgive them, you know, and we're going to let God handle this situation, let's pray about it. Do we think that that is still an effective message in today's day and age among the young people when they're looking for justice, right? What should we be showing them, or how should the church be reacting? Because their emotions, their feelings are valid, but how are we dealing with them moving forward in this day and age where this is happening over and over and over again? Brother Tom?
You know, the Bible said first natural, then spiritual. And, you know, there's a whole lot of people that, you know, while our message, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is love and forgiveness, that has to stay the same no matter what, right? But our method has to change. We're not going to, we have to be honest. I think the church is also guilty a lot of times of throwing the Bible at people's reality. And that frustrates people. When somebody's hurting and they are dealing with certain things, it frustrates people when sometimes, and sometimes can come off as dismissive to the reality of what's happening. You know what I'm saying? We have to say the truth, which is God wants us to forgive and God wants us to love. But the truth is that the Lord also, anger is a natural feeling, and it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be upset. The word said be angry, but sin not. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let's deal with the reality, too, that if Jesus were walking the earth today, if he was walking among us, his ministry said he came to preach good tidings to the poor and, you know, to proclaim the liberty unto them that are bound. And the reality is that Jesus would be preaching against America for this drastic sin that is continuing to repeat itself. While he would love on us, but he would preach against this sin. And he'd preach it to the face of the people who are perpetuating and practicing that sin. So while we must tell people that Christ is the answer, God has called some of us also to stand up and preach against this stuff. He called Martin Luther King Jr., who was a pastor, to preach against this stuff going on in America. And I just believe today that God wants to raise up some Malcolm and some Martins and use them for his glory to preach against this stuff that's happening. Because although we must preach salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot be dismissive of what is happening, the reality that black people are facing here in America.
Amen. We got about eight, 9 minutes left. And so I wanted to give each of you an opportunity to speak to these same young people that I'm talking about, that's hot about, you know, what's going on. They're angry, they're upset, they're frustrated, they're marching, they're ready to riot. And at the end of the day, I wanted to introduce this discussion to get real insight into how we should be moving forward, not just as African-American men or black men or whatever, but as a community, as a church, what types of things we can be implementing. You know, just can we just give an overall message to even the victims, the family members of these victims out here? What should we be telling them? I want to start with you, Brother Nate. What should we be saying to these people who are ready to riot, ready to protest? They're hurt, they're frustrated, they're angry, they're mad, just mad as hell. A lot of them say, "I'm just mad. We're just mad." What should be our message?
Well, my message to them, I understand their anger, and I understand that, you know, who hasn't and who doesn't get angry. I understand that, and God knows that. I can say for myself personally, many times I have. But I also will let them know that there is a way of the Lord. And, you know, we have to, and I agree with Brother Tom, we have to deal with balance. Okay, we need to preach against sin, against evil. The word of God said, cry aloud and spare not. We need to do that. But I also agree that we also have to present the message at the same time. Because, see, sometimes people want you to just say, go grab your clubs and get them back. Well, that's not what Christ taught us. Now, I was saying to the family, you know, of their losses, you know, my condolences go out to you. I understand your anger, okay? But I have to talk to you about Jesus because I was called by him to let her know, because Jesus let us know that we're going to encounter, we are on this earth, and the sin nature is in operation, and we're going to encounter these things, and he has told us what to do. So I was saying to them, I have to tell them about Jesus. That, once again, I'm not, you know, kicking away their anger, okay? It would anger me, okay? I'm not jumping on them about that, but I also would let them know that Jesus has a way, and that Jesus' way is the way. And so I would just point them to the Lord Jesus, you know, after, you know, ministering to them about that.
Amen. Rev, we have folk out here. They say every time a police officer pulls me over, when they get out that car, I'm nervous. I just don't know if I'm going to make it home to my family. Every time I'm pulled over or stopped by the police, every time police officers drive by me, I'm walking down the street, these young folks say, they just harass us, and every time we have an encounter with them, I don't know if I'm going to make it. What is our message? What is your message to these people out here that are struggling, that are frustrated and angry? that need to hear a word from the Lord. Go ahead, Rev.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I agree with both the brothers. You know, it has to be both, right? We have to give them, it's imperative that we give them the message of the Lord. But we also have to understand there's another part, there's a natural part we can play, right? And when it's all said and done, we have to be prepared to play that natural part. We can't simply always be outraged only when there's crimes committed against us by white people. You know, it's becoming commonplace that we just accept it when it's our own people killing us, when we've killed ourselves in a disproportionate fashion, right? Versus what the police are doing. But we seem to just have accepted that. Well, we can't accept that either. No more than should we accept the police killing us. But if we want to do something about it, if you look throughout history, marching is okay, but marching never really affected anything. It was always economic. When they stopped riding the buses, that made a difference. One of the major reasons that they killed Dr. Martin Luther King is because he told the garbage men here in Memphis to strike. So when you start hitting the system from an economic standpoint, and again, we can affect that really strongly because black people, we are the biggest consumers of almost everything. If we really want to affect, we don't have to take a step. We don't have to march down a street or shut down an expressway. Just stop spending your money. Do it for a week, 2 weeks. And send a message that, listen, if you're going to continue to treat us this way, then we're not going to do A, B, and C. That's going to make a huge effect. But when they see us not committed to a thing, you know, you got some of us who will be committed to it, but let's be honest, fellas. How many people do you really know if we called a national day of saving and say, or national week of saving, and say, we're not going to go out of this, we're not going to go out and spend any money for this whole week? How many people will really participate in that? Marching, they'll let us march down the street. They don't care about us marching down the street. They'll even let us block the highway temporarily. They don't care about that. And I'll tell you something else they don't mind us doing, burning down our own neighborhood. They don't care about that. But when you hit them in the pocket, when you hit them financially, then you get their attention. And it's been proven throughout history. And so that's all I'm saying. We have a right to be outraged. Young folks have a right to be outraged. Young folks have a right to be nervous. But the first thing I would say is, first and foremost, is you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because guess what? You may not die at the hand of a white police officer. You may die at the hand of another young black person. But it doesn't really matter. Death is death. You're not going to die less if it was by your own peers. You're going to be dead just the same. So the important part is you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then in the natural, we have to have a sense of responsibility that goes beyond just thinking about ourselves and gym shoes and $500 jeans.
Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. Brother Tom, your final message to those out there who are upset, who are frustrated, who are angry, even to the family members of the victims, you can address them. The floor is yours, brother.
Yeah, my heart bleeds for this sister and her family in Fort Worth, and for both of John and their family, and all of the family. But my heart bleeds even heavier, too, in our communities where violence continues to happen. And I think that we need to not only come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also need to realize Pan-Africanism. That's what Brother Nate's talking about. We need to realize Pan-Africanism. We need to come together as a people. And in that coming together, we need to bring our economics together. We need to bring ourselves together as families, as churches, as education systems. We need to bring ourselves together, and we need to remove the elite from among us as a people and for the greater good of us all. And like Brother said, it goes beyond marching. We have to bring an effect into this country that will really send a wake up to this government. And one of the things that Brother Malcolm and Martin is that both of them realize something is that America is incapable of solving the problem of race. They're incapable of it. And right now, the day that history has shown, it's going to take Christ, and it's going to take us as a people who've been disenfranchised to come together, seek God, and come up with a real plan, you know, on how we're going to make change be effective in our communities. And, you know, I encourage our brothers to stop killing one another in the streets. We need to wake up.
Amen. Well, that's the end of our broadcast today. I'd like to thank our dear brothers, Brother Tom, Reverend Murphy, and Brother Nate for joining us this evening. Your insights have just been so encouraging and uplifting. I'm sure the listeners thoroughly enjoyed it. Tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll be back live on God's Word to Man. Don't forget to follow us and like God's Word to Man on Facebook. And as always, we pray that God bless you, protect you and your family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you.
God bless you, brother.
Amen. God bless you, brother.